Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Welcome in, AfterBuzzers, to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Homeland, Season 5, Episode 5, entitled Better Call Saul. I am your lead host, Frank Majorana, and it's boys' night here.
That's right.
I'm joined by Julian Dujeric.
Howdy.
We are missing Stephanie Garrett this week.
We miss you, Steph.
We miss you so much. It's kind of sad to not have her here, but we've got boys' night.
That's so right.
Where can the people find you on social media?
The people can find me everywhere across the board on all social platforms at Julian Dujeric.
All right. And you guys can find me on Twitter at Let's Go Frank M. The title of this episode is called Better Call Saul, a Breaking Bad reference, of course, to the TV show that's out there right now on AMC, and then was the original name of the commercial that Saul used to put out there. It's kind of funny because we see Allison Carr breaking bad throughout this episode, and we're going to get into it in just a minute, but as always, we like to start our show off with our social media shout-outs, and I start off with Twitter every time. We have some good feedback again this week. You guys can always send in your comments. Just use Twitter with the hashtag ABTVHomeland, and we go through your comments every week. We pick out the ones that we think really add to the show and are become discussion topics for us. So I want to give a shout out here to Nikki Ann Taylor. She's at Nikki underscore, I'm sorry, Nikki Ann Tyler. She's at underscore Nikki, at Nikki underscore Tyler. Okay, finally got that right.
You got it?
Okay, we're good.
Like
three takes. Okay. So she said, love watching you from Germany. So we have someone watching us from Germany. So cool that we have that kind of reach.
I know. That's so cool.
At the same time, she does give us a little point here. Okay. She said, last episode, you missed a point. Allison was talking Russian when Carrie called her. I think I said it was German. When Carrie had called her, which is... Nikki is right because, and as we learned in this episode, the Russians are heavily involved whole plot that's unfolding around Carrie and Quinn. So a great point from you, Nikki, and sometimes things like that slip by, so thank you for keeping us on our toes, and we'll try and be better and better every week. So, Julian, I know that there was someone on YouTube, a few people on YouTube
there were many, many people on YouTube that were commenting. Thank you so much for commenting every single week. I'm just going to look over here. We definitely appreciate your feedback, both positive and negative. We want your opinions, whatever you want to say, please comment in the comment section below if you're watching us right now on YouTube. One comment that I thought was really funny and really interesting. JoJo, One Tone Productions on YouTube says, you guys never mentioned when Allison handed General Yusuf the pack of cigarettes.
Right?
Yeah. How do we know that it was the cigarettes she gave him, alluding to, I guess, the cigarettes being a detonator for the plane? As General Yusuf put it straight into his pocket, then when the plane does blow up, Allison's reaction is not one of shock, more of expectancy. Great show, guys. Yeah. So I thought that was really funny.
That's great. Very prescient that they're
very
thinking
specific.
Of that. Yeah, they're thinking of that. Now, we learned during the episode here that the bomb was designed to go off at 20,000 feet. So it went off early. And luckily, they were able to recover the plane.
Right.
But very prescient of, who did you say it was?
Tony JoJo, One Tone Productions.
JoJo. Okay, so great prediction.
Yeah.
And a thought ahead. I mean, a lot of you guys are really smart out there that you can pick out these ideas just from little clues that we can get. That's what I love about, you know, our fans and our viewers, is that nothing escapes them.
Yeah, and speaking of which, another commenter was pretty spot on. MC0325, Quinn, he or she says Quinn's assassin isn't German. He was Russian when Allison answered the phone. When Carrie called, her greeting was "da," which means yes in Russian. So a couple of people have picked that up, and they're... of course, right?
Yeah, they're of course
which
right.
Which we of course saw in this episode. So thank you again for commenting and please.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Please continue, because we love reading them.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, so let's get into our episode breakdown. This episode could alternatively been called, for me, The Ballad of Allison Carr. Yeah. She is just this... We find out a double agent for Russia, someone who is playing everybody and is truly devious.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you think about her as we learned more and more?
I mean, I wasn't surprised. I was appalled.
Yeah.
Oh man, it was just so appalling how she could just maneuver through those just abhorrent behaviors without thinking about it. It was just so disgusted.
Yeah,
I don't really use that term to describe plot lines of TV shows, but this has just got me. Like, oh, I hate you.
I know. Well, and the way they shot it too gave us a couple clues. There were pictures of her when she drops off Saul at his hotel,
right?
And they linger on the rear view mirror.
Yeah.
Remember that shot? She's looking in the rearview mirror, and her eyes are sort of this devious-looking saboteur type of look on her. And you could just see so much behind those eyes, a plan being unleashed by her. Now, my main question is, was she recruited by Russian intelligence once she got to a position of power in the CIA, or has she been a double agent all along? You know, it reminds me of a story in the news in which The Americans, a show on FX, is based off of, that Russians would send their spies to America, and they would only speak English and incorporate themselves into, you know, suburbia and become, you know, part of be American citizens.
It's a good show, by the way.
At the same time, they are, you know, they are Russian spies.
Yeah.
So that's my main question about her going forward is...
Yeah, you know, I didn't even think of that. I would hope, or I don't know, actually, I could see both, but I don't know much about Allison's backstory within the CIA to be able to make that that conclusion. But I'm interested to know, because that's something, how, if that's the case, like, what, there's so many ramifications that come as a result of that. You're right. At what point did she infiltrate the CIA? Was this something that was calculated all along? Mm-hmm. You know, if she was a CIA agent first, if she was American, you know, pro-America first, at what point does she change? Does she turn? You know, there's so many questions.
Yeah. One of my favorite scenes during the episode was the scene between Yvonne and her when they're both singing in their cars. And they're two spies, and she asks him to stay for a bit longer. Clearly, the stress of all of this plotting and planning and execution is really getting to her at this point. And yet, I feel nothing for her. I don't feel bad for her at all.
No.
I'm glad she's tired. I'm glad things are going poorly for her. And ultimately, I can't wait to see her get her comeuppance.
Yeah. Just because I don't know. I don't see... There are no redeeming qualities to Allison, like none, not at all.
Yeah.
And for me, I my biggest question is where does she find the gumption, the intestinal fortitude to be able to do what she does with such an apathetic sort of stoic disposition? What is her MO? Why is she doing it? I guess that you can ask that of anybody who commits, you know, this is evil, but Allison specifically is just so embedded. Like, how do you, what does it take for you to have, I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm so, like, flustered by this woman.
Yeah, well, and you know what's interesting about revealing to us as the audience that she is behind this plan? It's something that Homeland hasn't done before, where we know who is behind the plot. We know who is the ultimate villain of this season. Mm-hmm. It's Allison and Russian intelligence working together to bring, obviously, to kill Carrie and Quinn and to do who knows what else. In that car scene between Yvonne and Allison, he says, hold on just a few days more, you're almost there. So there's an end goal in mind, which we don't know yet. But it's going to be fun for us as viewers to know what's going on and then see our heroes, Carrie, Quinn, Saul, come together and figure it out.
Yeah.
Because that's where I think the show is going. They are going to eventually figure out what is going on here between them. So how long is it going to take? We've got seven episodes left in this season. So we already know who the bad guys are, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and I'm wondering why does Russia want to keep... Why do they want to support this dictatorship, right? Because obviously they eliminated the replacement, so there's no way to change that regime.
Well, Syria and Russia are allies in real life. Now, again, we want to caution you guys. We're talking about, you know, the political life of this show. Anything that we're talking about countries and foreign policy is specific to this show. And I don't think either one of us are commenting on the real world politics, you know, of our real world situation. But go ahead.
But it just seems as though they have so much to lose, Russia.
Yeah.
Why would they aid a country that is not in their best interest, in my opinion? Like, that relationship, fostering that relationship is not in their best interest.
Yeah, it's interesting. Maybe it's an enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know,
maybe
they're both enemies of America.
Yeah.
And there's probably some oil interest, too, there.
Excuse me.
Between Syria and Russia as well.
Yeah, that would make sense. It would make a lot of sense. What doesn't make sense is how they can be so overt about it and so obvious about it, and their complete disdain for the United States.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
It's like, it's the U.S.
No, come on, we're good guys. So anyway, so that's the big plot reveal of this episode was Allison's true intent, and you see her cold calculation in executing the things that Yvonne gave to her. You know, give Saul the passenger manifest, so that we see an alias pops up that Itai Luskin uses for traveling, and we find out that he was in Switzerland. He was in the area and overseeing, potentially planting a seed of doubt in Saul's mind that Itai was behind it all. That, to me, was expertly executed by the Russian side using Allison, because, you know, Yvonne seems to really know the character of Saul and Dardal really well and can successfully predict what they're going to do.
Well, they've had a relationship for years, and so they have grown close. They've shared secrets together.
You're talking Saul and Dardal, right?
Saul and Dardal. Well, I'm talking Saul and the ambassador.
Oh, Itai.
Itai, yeah. They've had a relationship for a long time, and so it's inevitable for them to kind of pick up on their patterns and sort of finish each other's sentences, if you will, predict their movements, each other's movements. So that seemed like an obvious, not an obvious, but that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
One quote that during that exchange that I thought was just brilliant, and I'm paraphrasing slightly here because I didn't have time to remember the quote, but we never murdered. Well, let me give you a little bit of a breakdown. So Saul is accusing the ambassador without necessarily accusing him of being involved with this plane exploding.
Right.
And obviously they're two very smart men, and the ambassador knows that this is not going to fly. Like, I know exactly what you're doing, and I know that I'm going to say something to you that let you know that this isn't right. So what he says, the ambassador says, is we never murdered the general you never met to overtake to the coup you never planned.
Right.
Which I thought was brilliant in its pointed nature, in that, you know, he was defending himself, but at the same time, I kind of saw that as a threat.
Right.
Like, don't think that you have all the cards here. You are not even supposed to this was never even supposed to happen. You were never supposed to plan this coup, because I know you were planning it.
Right.
Even though you told me you weren't. So don't think that I don't have some cards myself and I'm not willing to use them. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, I thought it was a really well-written scene between the two. And then the thing about the show is that there's never a throwaway line. There's never a piece of information or a wasted frame in this show. So when Itai talked about having tried to meet with a informant, and he said that, well, it didn't matter, he never showed up. I think there's something more to that.
Yeah, who's the informant?
Than just what he said. Yeah, who's the informant? What was he doing there? I don't think it's I like Itai. I believe he's a good character, and I think he's got, you know, something good planned ultimately for the safety of his nation and for world peace. But there's something else to that. We see the success of the plan that the Russians have with Allison to create real tension between the two.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Itai says, why don't you grow, you know, breast and go F yourself.
Yeah.
Straight to Saul.
Yeah, right.
Like, I couldn't believe that.
I guess at that point, there's no reason to sort of pacify your approach or your delivery,
right?
The delivery of your message. You're going to take it or you're going to leave it, because if we're getting very honest and very, very, I can't think of the word, but we're just getting very honest with each other at this point, and
right.
So no need to mince words. and Itai certainly didn't.
Yeah, Itai certainly didn't at all. And this rest of the season, I think Itai is going to play a much bigger role.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see him and Saul interact and maybe come to a mutual understanding.
Oh,
go ahead.
I was going to say the opposite. I thought there might be growing tensions between Saul and Itai because of this whole distrust.
See, I don't think it goes that well. We'll have to see, because if Allison continues to sleep with Saul, she's really entangled herself expertly, and she can say little things, you know, like you said a couple weeks ago, pillow talk.
Right.
You know, what's said in pillow talk? You know, plant little seeds of doubt and little dissension and kind of do a little Lady Macbeth,
mm-hmm.
I would think, and turn Saul against Itai. Ultimately. But I think they go back so far. I mean, Saul went over to Itai's house for a Seder.
Right.
I think there's a real relationship there that no matter, you know, if something little, a bump in the road comes along, I don't think ultimately it'll destroy the relationship.
Well, we said that about Saul and Carrie, and look what's happening.
That's true. And now they reunite.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, it's a perfect transition. They
Thank
reunite
you.
At the end of the episode. Yeah. So what did you think when you saw them get together for the first time?
I knew at some point Carrie would have to speak to Saul.
Right.
Because this whole proxy communication that's happening between Saul and Carrie just wasn't, it's not feasible anymore.
Right.
Because the stakes are so high and there's so much on the line at this point.
Right.
For all parties involved, I knew it was going to happen. I thought actually it would have happened last episode, but obviously it happened this episode. I knew it would. And it has to. It's necessary. They have to talk.
Yeah. I'm excited to see them team up and get together. Now, we're going to see if they can repair their relationship in enough time to figure this thing out together. Because, you know, just in the beginning of their cab ride, you know, Carrie goes, what's your runner now? He goes, well, ever since Mira filed for divorce, which is kind of a slap at Carrie to say, well, yeah, you haven't been around. You don't know what's going on in my life anymore. So don't come in here and pretend like you can tell me, you know, what's going on. So I think there's going to be some real tension there. But ultimately, they go back really far and deep. And so I'm looking forward to seeing them unravel this web of intricately woven plans made by Allison.
Right.
The question is, how quickly do they figure it out? And then once they do, do they pretend like they don't know to see what Allison is going to do with the Russians and seeing who it is that she's actually working for?
I think that would be smart. And I'll get back to that. I just want to point out, give Homeland some love, because they assume the intelligence of their viewers.
Yeah.
You just mentioned when Saul said that Mira filed for divorce,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we... that. Insinuated that obviously, you know, he's saying, what, you haven't been around, so why do you care all of a sudden? And I love that the way the show is written, it just assumes that we can fill in the blanks. So thank you, Homeland writers, for that.
This is why we love the show. This is why we do this after show,
because
it's so fun. But also, it hadn't been clearly expressed yet throughout the season. And I think we had talked about that on this show is, you know, is Saul cheating on Mira?
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, obviously he's not. Now we know that answer. Because really, that line when Carrie says, so you run now, he could have said anything in the world. He could have said, yeah, I run now, or yeah, ever since a month ago, or, you know, ever since I got stationed out here. But instead, he chooses that point of information to throw at Carrie.
Which is kind of twofold. It's first and foremost, it's to tell and to let her know you haven't been a good friend.
Right.
And secondly, This is my kind of conspiracy brain.
Sure.
I feel like the writers are kind of cluing us in to sort of where emotionally Saul is in his life, specifically with regards to his career. He had Mira to come home to.
Right.
And now he doesn't.
Right.
And so what else can he do but get further entrenched and further involved, which means sometimes you got to run.
Yeah.
So I thought that was... That was the message there.
That's a great point that you just made, and it also made a bulb go off in my mind, a bell go off in my mind about the emotional state of Saul. When Allison and Saul drove up to the hotel, and Saul looks over to Allison and kind of woundedly says, "We're not going back to your place." You know, did that strike you odd at all? It certainly for me, I was like, "Oh, you've." Kind of feels like bad that he's not sleeping with her tonight.
I just chopped that up to like being a man.
Well, it was such a like wounded dog kind of way to ask.
It's a pretty vulnerable way in which it was indicative of sort of a vulnerability. But yeah, I mean, he's in there. I mean, he's sleeping with this woman and probably divulging secrets. I mean, how else could she possibly she didn't mastermind it, but how else could she possibly put the pawns in place that she has up until this point. I did think it was further in indication of where Saul is. I feel for Saul.
Yeah.
I think, you know, his intentions are good. He's really trying to figure this thing out. Yeah. He has no idea where he is. He really doesn't.
What do you mean?
With regards to the master plan, you know, obviously, in the coming episodes, I hope in the coming episodes, Quinn, the trio, Quinn, Saul,
our
and
hero
Carrie,
trio.
Yeah, our hero trio. Figure it out. But right now, it's just so disheartening. So my heart sinks every time Saul sort of tries to kind of contemplate what is happening, because he really has no idea the scope of evil that he's in the midst of.
Yeah.
And it just, oh man, I feel so badly for him.
I do too. That's so great. That's such a great point that you just made. Well, look, let's take a quick time out to remind everyone that you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on YouTube. Please like us on YouTube and submit a review in on iTunes as well. Subscribe to us there so that you can listen to us every week. And did you download Stitcher? We talked about Stitcher last week. You didn't
do it?
Oh my gosh.
I feel like it's another thing to do. I'm like, just very quickly about social media. I just feel like every year there's something that I have to be on just to kind of be sort of omnipresent, because that's the name of the game if you're us hosts.
Right.
And it's just like another thing. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe as I get older, it's like more. I just got on Snapchat.
Oh, okay.
And I actually love Snapchat. I love it. But it took me a while to get on it, because it's like it's another thing. I went on Vine for 2 weeks, didn't like it.
It's
just way too much.
I'm on neither one of those.
I feel like I'm like 95 years old. No more social media.
But we appreciate you commenting on our social media.
Yes.
All across all our platforms, even on Instagram. I know Stephanie had a couple of good comments on her Instagram, so just use the hashtag #ABTVHomeland. We search for it before we start every show here every Sunday night, and we pick out your comments from there. So let's get back into the show, and you were speaking about Quinn a minute ago.
Yeah.
Man, he's in bad shape.
Yeah.
He's on his cot, and his wound is getting more and more infected. It's getting worse, and ultimately, I do want to talk about Jonas in a minute, but I just want to focus on Quinn right now. Quinn's in a really bad spot, and it gets so bad for him that he rips his medical equipment off, leaves the safe house, and goes and tries to zip tie a boulder to him so he can drown himself.
I know.
That ripped at me.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't, I don't want him to give up. I don't want him to have that mindset where he thinks he's just too far gone, where it's not going to work out for him.
Yeah.
And I know one of our viewers said not to talk about the scenes from next week, so we won't spoil for it if you didn't watch to the end and saw the scenes from next week. But I never would want Quinn to feel that way. And to see him trying to kill himself was heartbreaking for me.
Yeah, because we don't see him as this person who ever gives up.
Right.
He is the male Carrie in many ways. And this is just to kind of compare the two a little bit. Even when Carrie was in the depths of her psychosis,
right,
she still did not give up. And so for me to see him in that state of mind was really I just hurt my heart, because I would never imagine, if out of all the people, for him to be that affected.
Yeah, and there seems to be. There's got to be more options than just, you know, okay, he can't go to a hospital, because if he goes to a hospital, someone's going to recognize him, or all of those hospitals are tuned in, and someone will find out that this is Peter Quinn, right, and he's still alive, and he's not dead anymore, and he needs to keep his cover. But for him to just jump to the end point where, okay, well, there's no medical way for me to get out of this, and I'm not going to be able to be helped, and I need to kill myself, was really disheartening, kind of like you were saying.
Yeah.
Because, like you were saying, he's a mirror for Carrie. There are these don't give up type of people. And alternatively, they've both played that role for each other in the past. And now, even though Carrie is trying and saying, nope, you can't give up, we're not going to, and Carrie ultimately tells Jonas to call an ambulance to save him, you know, just whatever, we'll just deal with the aftermath. But luckily, we see a good Samaritan come along. And I know you had a question about him after you saw him.
Well, my question actually was about, and my question came after we saw the scenes from next week. So I don't want to ask
won't
the
spoil
question.
It. We want to respect our viewers who don't watch to get previews for the next episode.
Well, I will say, when I first saw him come onto the screen, I was like, "Who is this guy?"
Right.
But within the context of this episode, I'm glad that he's there to sort of seemingly help. Help Quinn out, because Quinn's in bad shape.
Really bad.
We even see what really bothered me, or what really made me sad, was Quinn's struggle to open up the lid, the garbage lid. I'm assuming that's what that was.
Some
container of some kind.
Yeah.
To I would assume go put himself in there and then close the lid and just die.
I just remember actually from my first job I ever had was at a Red Robin restaurant, and they had a dumpster out back that looked like that, but it was filled with acid. So you would throw in certain materials that couldn't go in the trash. You would throw it in acid and break it all down that way. So
what a way to go.
It could have been one of those type of
I can't imagine.
Experiences.
To go from wanting to drown, which is relatively quick,
right.
I won't say painless, but from that to decomposing an acid.
Again, I'm just speculating as to what that was. I don't think throwing yourself in a trash container is going to kill you at first, but no one would find him. I think that was probably the most likely answer. What does Saul say? The simplest explanation is the correct answer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, one thing that I thought, what is the sort of the medical industry like in that part of the world that he doesn't feel like there's an alternative? Like, here in the United States, there are clinics, there are places that you can be anonymous at, there's, you know, are the hospitals that connected? Like, how is it that he feels like there's absolutely no option?
Yeah, you're right. And another thing that's different about that part of the world is, you know, free speech laws are different.
Yeah.
So we saw during the protest outside of the Russian embassy that when the big group all got together, the police geared up and they got ready. And even though they were all peacefully protesting, they got their riot gear out and started shooting off, you know, tear gas. So it was another difference between the two that your statement just made me think of there.
Just reminds you of how lucky we are to live in the United States.
I know, that's very true. That's very true. Okay, so I do want to talk about Jonas. I referenced him a bit. He makes a return. He's sort of a knight in shining armor character. He's very altruistic. He's great for Carrie. I wonder if he deserves better. And Julian, you said one thing during the episode, and after it happened, I wrote down your quote here. Jonas sees Carrie again, and Carrie asks Jonas to help him, and he says, "Why should I help you?" And you said,
You shouldn't. He shouldn't.
Why?
Carrie.
This is the girl you love.
I don't love Carrie. I think.
But I'm
think
saying she has, if you're Jonas.
Okay. I don't love Carrie.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's so funny, and I'll get to why I said that in a second, but, it's so funny. Carrie is probably one of the only characters of a show that I really love, central characters that I don't hate, but I don't necessarily love either. She wouldn't be someone that I'd be friends with. Let's just say that. The reason why I said that you shouldn't is because Carrie is all about Carrie.
Right.
Carrie does not care about anyone else. And it's, she's a narcissist. I mean, I feel like she's a narcissist. That's my opinion. I'm not certified to diagnose that, but,
it's your opinion.
It's just my opinion. Sure. I think she's self-centered. She's a narcissist who does not care about ramifications for anyone else. Mm-hmm. She really, in my opinion, doesn't really care about anybody else. It's certainly not Jonas.
Well, when work comes up, I think that takes her top priority. So I think, in a sense, I will agree with you that she pushes everything else down when she has something that she wants to do that's work or conspiracy kind of related, because that's her wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And it made me think, is Carrie capable of being with anyone?
I don't think so. I don't think she can be. Who would put up with that?
Right.
Who in their right mind would put up with someone like that?
Well, Jonas is so far.
I don't know that that'll be my prediction.
Okay. Well, let's save that. Save that to the end, to the predictions section of the show. But I felt really bad for him. Here he is, called in. This is the woman that you love, that you've been with for, you know, it's been 2 years since the show. We don't know how long they've been together, but presumably over a year. So they've been together for a long time, and she goes bat, you know what, crazy, out running out in the forest, and the first time she reaches out to you is when, and this feeds your point, is when she needs him, when she needs to use him for something, which is his sister's medical expertise to help Quinn.
Yeah.
So it does feed the self-centeredness of Carrie's purpose here that we've seen lately. Like, hello, I'm your boyfriend, and you haven't talked to me in days, and I haven't seen you. I'm freaking out, and I can't lose you. And I love that scene between the two when Carrie needs to go out, and they have this hug, and he looks at her, and really, really strong portrayal by the actor there, because you see it hurts him on so many levels.
Yeah,
that Carrie's sort of pushing him aside.
And it's interesting to me. I think Carrie, this is just a far-fetched kind of theory. I think Carrie does feel badly. She does. She obviously is empathetic.
Right.
We can see that on her face. I mean, nobody, well, sociopaths can cry and actually not feel any empathy. But I truly believe that she's empathetic. But because she holds work in such a high priority, she probably doesn't understand why no one else understands where she's coming from in that regard. So if we're talking just purely about how her mindset works, then I can understand where she's coming from. But as a rational sort of human being that isn't crazy,
right.
I don't get how you cannot. I don't get how you can compartmentalize that well.
Well, this is the strength of the character, right?
Yeah.
So she can do that.
It seems so robotic. Are there people that exist like that? Probably, certainly.
I'm sure.
But I guess it's the first time that I've seen sort of the backstory of a person like that and sort of their relationships and how them being that way affects the people around them as well.
Yeah. I mean, she tosses off Franny to the United States as soon as she can. And she leaves Jonas behind and doesn't think to call him once.
Yeah.
You know, even in last week's episode, we saw her, presumably she's back on her meds now because she's very calm and within her purpose. You would think she would try and reach out to him.
Yeah.
Though, on the flip side of this, I could see the argument where she says, all right, well, the best way to protect him is to make him think that I'm dead. And this was what Quinn was trying to say, was, you know, to protect the people that you love, you need to let them think that you're dead so that whoever is trying to kill her, which we now know is Allison, doesn't think that she is still alive and can get to her through her family and loved ones. Do you disagree?
I can see your point.
Okay. But you disagree? And why? You can have an opposite view. That's fine.
I mean, I feel like I've said everything I need to say about Carrie.
Fair enough. Yeah, she's quite the character.
Yeah. I love that she's written that way, though.
Yeah.
Because I just feel they're visceral reactions.
Exactly.
That I have to her,
if
so
you didn't care
it.
About her, you would just sit there and watch.
Yeah.
But we literally shout at the TV sometimes
really
when Carrie makes a decision. So we also see, I want to talk about Laura Sutton real quickly.
Oh, yeah, we didn't get to her.
We didn't get to her yet. And then she's somebody who's loving being in the middle of all this protest.
No.
I mean, you could just see the smug look on her face. And then her and Carrie have become uneasy allies here.
As that tends to happen with journalists, by the way.
Just what?
That, you know, they kind of enjoy that whole being in the middle, like,
sure,
of everything. And
becoming
kind of
being a part of the story.
I don't know if the becoming part of this. I'm sure they would like to be a part of the story, but because of journalistic ethics, they sort of are removed from it. But yeah, they love being in the middle of it. They love it.
Well, and like you were saying, Carrie doesn't have a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. And we see her struggle with two other female characters in this episode. We see her with Astrid, mm-hmm. which is a really funny scene of them in the car. Yeah. You were laughing. I was laughing during the scene. Like, there's a tension between them. There's probably...
It's a beautiful tension, though.
It's a beautiful tension. A funny, really well-written, really well-acted and paced out and directed. It was a really good start to the show because they're accomplishing a plot point, but in a funny way. Where there's, oh, I kind of hate you. Well, I kind of hate you too. And then there's the Quinn angle too. Which,
right.
We don't even know if Astrid knows that Carrie and Quinn have had a thing as well.
I wouldn't recommend that Carrie reveal that.
Right.
if she's trying to get something out of her. It was a great scene. I probably one of my favorites, actually.
And I really like Astrid too. We haven't talked about her a whole lot, but she's something about the way that the actress plays her that feels so honest and real. And that scene where she's at her computer desk and her boss comes over. I mean, she doesn't say a whole lot. And it is, you know, subtitled. It's not in English, so we don't actually hear the words, you know, the way that she's saying it. But I felt her, like, fear and trepidation and, oh, my God, my boss is here and he's looking at me. All of that, those great, wonderful, subtle emotions.
In between the lines.
Exactly. You summed it all up in 2 seconds, my long-winded way of saying it. That, the way that she reacts, while the action is happening.
Much more indicative of her, of what she's feeling than her acting. Right. That's... There's so many. This show is so good. I love this
really
show. Just all on all angles. Like, there's, because you can have really great, a really great script, and then just subtle changes or subtle, very, very minute decisions that an actor makes make all the difference in the world, in the portrayal of whatever story that actor or that writer is trying to tell.
Yeah. Did you have anything else that you wanted to talk about? Any topics?
Pretty action-packed episode.
It wasn't really action-packed in terms of, like, physical action. It was more like we're catching up.
It was very tense.
Great point, And because last episode, and on a lot of the episodes this season, we've seen action.
Yeah.
You know, things blowing up, people dying. And this was sort of a catch-up episode to get all the pieces in place.
Yeah, almost a bridge, I feel like.
Yeah.
More so than the last episode and the episode before that. This was definitely a bridged episode. And oftentimes when I call them bridge episode, I don't know if that's a thing, but it felt like it was a bridge to something else. Because it is, as we've seen in some of the upcoming scenes for next week, which again, we won't reveal. But my point, what I'm trying to say is, with these types of episodes that kind of bridge narratives, it's really easy for them to kind of be sort of corny in a way that you're just kind of waiting to see what the ending of the episode is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
But the tension was all throughout, from
very
beginning
true.
To end, in subtle ways and in very overt ways, too. It was beautiful. Beautiful episode.
Beautiful episode. All right, final topic. Let's talk about Newman and his follow-up on Korsnick's death.
Yeah.
I was saying it wrong last week. I was saying Korsnick. It's Korsnick, who was the other hacker who tried to sell the files to Yvonne, who killed him when they had a backup. So I felt for Newman. Because he posts this anonymous online video just full of righteous indignation and anger in trying to avenge the death of his friend. Do you think that was the smartest move for him to post online about that?
Was it smart?
Yeah.
I guess it would depend on what he was trying to do. He was trying to avenge... If he's trying to avenge his death, I mean, that's not... What is that going to accomplish except
Well, he wants justice for his friend.
Maybe just cause a little bit of a ruckus?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it caused a big ruckus, obviously. He posted, and it reminded me of those anonymous videos that get posted from time to time, and the guy with the, what's that mask? What am I trying to think of?
The Scream mask? No.
It's like the Scream mask.
V for Vendetta.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the V for Vendetta mask. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's right. So, it reminded me a lot of that, and he created...
Thanks, Jonathan, by the way.
He created a atmosphere around the embassy that mm-hmm. was going to really cause some problems for some public officials there. So I think that there is going to be a lot coming his way that's going to be negative now. Because someone's going to track down where this footage was, because we know where the footage was. It was in that club, in that sex club where he hooked up with two prostitutes. Mm-hmm. So now there's going to be even more pressure coming his way.
Yeah.
It's going to be a scary time.
It was definitely a knee-jerk reaction, and I guess it wasn't smart.
No.
Because there's too many interconnected pieces. People can connect the dots rather easily. And he actually made a point right before they started recording the video to put up a blank sheet, behind him. So there were no identifying marks in his environment. Mm-hmm. There was probably a really close-up shot. I mean, it looked like a pretty close-up shot.
Right.
It's interesting to me that was what he had the foresight to do a little pre-production.
Right.
But not enough to know that the fact that he's producing this video at all will lead to people connecting it back to him or to the club.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed odd to me. It was a very emotional reaction.
Yeah. It was. But he's mad.
Yeah.
His buddy and his girlfriend got murdered, and
I just thought he would be smarter than that, I guess.
I think you're exactly right. And that's why I asked you the question, because I think there's other ways that he could have gone about handling it. But I think he wanted to clear his friend's name. Apparently, from what we learned in the episode, that the narrative out there is that Korsnick killed his girlfriend and now he's missing or isn't around anymore. So he posted online in the dark world of the internet where you can't be traced,
right?
Hopefully, for Newman.
The deep web, probably.
The deep web, yeah. In a way to help his friend out from beyond the grave in clearing his name and his reputation.
Yeah.
So I can understand his point of view, but again, like I was saying before, I think he's going to have some real pressure come on him now. And we've seen with the Russian officials, with Ivan, what they're capable of. And I think there's going to be some bad things coming his way.
Oh, definitely. There's no way there's no way that action can't cause a reaction directly to him. I just have one question.
Sure.
If anybody knows, can you please comment below or let us know on social media? What was the name of the girl that he was with? And what does she have to do with any of this, I wonder?
Yeah. Well, just she knew Borist.
She just knew him.
In.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I think it is. If it's something deeper, of course, please comment. I also wanted to know what the piece of gum meant.
Oh, yeah.
the piece of blackjack.
Blackjack,
Saul found underneath his hotel room door.
Adam's blackjack gum.
My only thought was that it was something from their past.
Some inside joke or something.
Yeah, some code. That they knew about. Excuse me. It triggered a set of reactions where Saul could go downstairs and meet with Carrie, which is their meetup. But if it's something more specific than that, please let us know.
It's so funny. I know you have to move on very quickly, but it's just so funny what this show does to us loyal viewers. Like, we just become the conspiracy theorists, and we're like, no, the gum means something.
Exactly.
It's explosive gum.
Exactly.
I know it. I've seen it. We haven't seen anything.
Cool. So let us know what you think about that, and let's move into our final segment of the show, which is predictions.
I always love this light show.
It's perfect for Halloween, too, what we just went through. So, speaking of that, I will go first just because we're already on this this topic. I think Newman's going to die. I think he's going to be killed by Russian operatives.
I agree. I can't see how that couldn't happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you couldn't see how that couldn't happen.
How that couldn't happen. There's so many things that connect him. Like, any rationally, relatively intelligent person can connect the dots, I think.
Yeah.
Who's in that world.
Right.
You know, who's, like, fraternizing with those, in those circles.
They already got one of the hackers.
Yeah.
Newman is a loose end. who's someone who still knows about the documents.
Right.
Yvonne has the documents now. So the only other person who has true access to it would be Newman. They have the footage now, so they're going to figure out where it was taken. And they're going to go to that sex club, and they're going to rip all of that equipment out of there, I'm betting, or destroy it. And then they're going to find Newman, and they're going to take him out. That's all my right. prediction.
Solid prediction.
Thank you. What's yours?
My prediction I kind of alluded to earlier in this episode. Jonas is going to break up with Carrie. I think he's just going to have... Okay. He's going to be fed up. And I don't know how many episodes he's in this season, if he's in next season at all. I think Jonas will probably get to his saturation point with Carrie and say enough is enough. We're already seeing sort of cracks in his tolerance for all of the bullshit that he's being put through, because that's essentially what it is. I mean, it's completely ridiculous.
I thought it was coming this week.
Really?
You could see it on his face, and I thought he was at the point where he was going to say, "I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not helping you anymore." Well, he did say that during the episode, so I thought that was him breaking up with her, but she stays around to
bring him back in.
She brings him back in, and I think, I do agree with you. I think no rational human being can stick around that long with this type of person who Carrie is really pushing him away constantly. I need to go do this. I need to do my thing, and I don't really care what you're going to say about it, because I'm going to go do it.
Well, because now she's involving his sister, who has nothing to do with this at all, probably has no idea that this kind of thing happens in the world, you know? I'm sure. I mean, she's a doctor, so she's pretty smart, so I'm sure she does. But that her brother is involved in any of this, that's probably going to blow her mind, or that would have blown her mind if he had actually involved her in this.
So that's right.
I think, you know, that was actually what I thought was indicative of the end for Carrie and Jonas. Him refusing to involve his sister.
Great point.
Yeah.
Great point, because to Carrie, in Carrie's mind, it's just... Well, she's an asset. Yeah, she's an asset, and she can help my friend. And that's it. Great point. Well, we're going to look forward to seeing how our predictions come to pass, if they're true or false. You guys can make your own for us. Use that hashtag #ABTVHomeland. He is Julian Dujeric. Let's wrap it up. Julian, where can the people find you on social media?
I am available across the board on all social media at Julian Dujeric.
And I am Frank Majorana. You guys can find me on Twitter at Let's Go Frank M. Thank you all so much for listening this week. We appreciate you guys writing in your comments. Go out there, have a blessed week, and we'll see you back soon.
Take care.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.